Welcome to The Bridge, a weekly magazine show featuring local and regional stories. I'm Kathleen Morgane, your host for the show. Washington Governor Jay Inslee has come out in favor of a significant boost to the state's minimum wage. Voters in SeaTac approved a $15 per hour minimum wage in November.
There is ample evidence that a raise in that range does not kill jobs.
Austin Jenkins reports on the governor's priorities for the legislative session. That story coming up in about 5 minutes. Also on the show, Astoria Sunday Market Director Cindy Mudge explains how young people can become young entrepreneurs in the Market Biz Kids program. And we'll also hear about Project Homeless Connect and the events taking place in Clatsop and Tillamook counties, also in Long Beach, Washington, later this month. NPR News headlines are next. The time is 9:01. You're listening to The Bridge. Legislative sessions open this week in Oregon and Washington. For this session, Washington Governor Jay Inslee is calling for a hike in the minimum wage. Plus, he wants to fund teacher cost of living increases. Those were two of his key policy proposals in his State of the State speech on Tuesday. Republican lawmakers quickly shot down those ideas. Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins reports.
The State of the State started off with something everyone in the House chamber could get behind.
And the home of the brave.
Corporal Ray Reynolds of the Vancouver, Washington Police Department received bipartisan applause for his rendition of the national anthem. But when it was Governor Inslee's turn, the partisan divide was soon on display. First, Inslee called for a $200 million infusion into K-12 education, a response to the Washington Supreme Court's recent order that says the state is not moving fast enough to fully fund basic education.
Most of that will go directly to your local school districts. It will also fund a long overdue cost of living adjustment for our educators this year.
That applause was mostly from Democrats. Inslee's call for teacher COLAs this year represents a change in course. He did not include them in his supplemental budget proposal back in December. Reception to the idea was cool in the Washington Senate. Democrat Rodney Tom leads a mostly Republican coalition caucus. He suggested it's not likely lawmakers will fund teacher COLAs in an off-budget year. Inslee's call for a hike in the minimum wage brought some Democrats to their feet, but not Republicans. Washington's current base wage is already the highest in the nation, $9.32 an hour as of January 1st. Inslee is suggesting an increase of $1.50 to $2.50 an hour.
There is ample evidence that a raise in that range does not kill jobs.
But at a news conference following the speech, Republicans were quick to disagree. Senator Linda Evans-Parlett is a pharmacist from Central Washington.
In my opinion, if you raise the minimum wage, you're going to have more small businesses go out of business, which means more people will lose jobs. That's the wrong direction.
Inslee also called on lawmakers to pass a gas tax package and legislation to allow undocumented high school graduates to qualify for college tuition aid. But he also acknowledged a political reality. He's up against a divided legislature. For now, at least, the days of one-party Democratic rule in Washington are over. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.
Hundreds of homeless people live in our Lower Columbia coastal region. Help for the homeless is offered by a variety of public and private agencies throughout our area, but connecting with the various agencies can be difficult without access to a telephone or reliable transportation. Once a year in January, agencies through our area collaborate to offer information, services, and supplies during Project Homeless Connect. Clatsop Community Action case manager Tony DeGoti spoke with Coast Community Radio's Donna Quinn about the event on the Talk of Our Towns program yesterday.
Project Homeless Connect is it's completely done by volunteers. Clatsop Community Action actually coordinates the event, but it's basically a one-day event for 5 hours. We help link the homeless, people in need, near homeless with services, and up to 42 different services will be provided that day. So it could be health, medical. The Lions Van will be there. There's food,
we'll
there's
have
clothing,
a haircut,
free haircuts,
mm-hmm. a meal.
Viviana Matthews is also a case manager with Clatsop Community Action. She explained who the event is reaching out to.
Well, what we are looking into right now is a person who is living on the street or a place not meant for human habitation, sleeping in cars, streets, living in emergency shelters, transitional housing, motel, staying with friends, staying in abandoned buildings, and also people who are going to become homeless within the next 7 days.
The ultimate goal is to end homelessness, but long-term homelessness is on the rise due to the extended economic decline. Degote says one result is generational homelessness. Project Homeless Connect can help connect people with programs intended to help break the cycle of homelessness.
Generation homelessness is, we find that we have a program right now, actually, it's a permanent supportive housing program. And it's for chronically homeless, so somebody who's had episode on episode of homelessness over and over and over over the years. Maybe their parents are homeless, and then that's the reality that they or this person might take on later on in life, and it just keeps perpetuating. So we try to stop that cycle mm-hmm. as much as we can and through case management. So
they don't really know what it is. If you've grown up in a family that's homeless and somehow they've managed to get along, get enough food and some sort of shelter wherever that is, whether it's in a homeless camp or whatever, then they don't know what it is to then have a place of their own.
True.
That's
and
right. Yeah.
It's more about survival. We've had experiences with some of our programs where they weren't even using the entire apartment. They just lived in the back room. They were almost squatting in the back, mm-hmm. just living out of there. They wouldn't cook in the kitchen. So our job is to bring them back into the rest of the home and saying, well, you can cook here. You can sit in the living room. So it's a whole different mindset.
In Clatsop County, Project Homeless Connect will take place for 5 hours, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Thursday, January 30th at the Seaside Convention Center. Sunset Transportation Services will offer free bus service in Clatsop County all that day on the 30th as part of their Rider Appreciation Day. 1 week from today in Washington, on Thursday, January 23rd, a Project Homeless Connect event will take place on the Long Beach Peninsula at the Elks Lodge in downtown Long Beach. Hours there will also be from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. Services there will include medical and dental providers, hot meals, haircuts and clothing, plus information from several agencies. The Tillamook Homeless Connect event will take place that same day, Thursday, January 23rd, from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. at the Sacred Heart Catholic School Gymnasium at 2411 5th Street. Tillamook Care Executive Director Erin Scar joins us now to bring us up to speed. Why don't you dive right in, Erin?
So the Tillamook Project Homeless Connect is in our fourth year. This is an event that we do in January along with our homeless count as a way to really encourage those who are experiencing homelessness to come in out of the cold so that we can find them, meet them, talk with them, and make sure that we get them included in our count. Tillamook County, the last 3 years, having done our in-sheltered count, we tend to average around 350 to 400 individuals who are currently homeless at any given count time. So there is a significant need here for assistance for those who are experiencing homelessness. And this event allows us to draw them in, which means we can connect with them in order to get them counted, and then also connect with them for services beyond the count. So at the event itself, we will have a hot meal, free clothing, tents, tarps, sleeping bags, haircuts, vaccinations, pet care, and we'll have all of the community service providers from Tillamook County kind of all in one place so that hopefully they will be able to meet with a veterans representative if they're a veteran, perhaps with someone from the Women's Resource Center if they've been a victim of violence. We have the Serenity Club if they are looking for support in their clean and sober life. So there's a lot of different services that are also available at that event. And then we work very hard to connect with them from our agency during that event so that if there are things we can help them with following up, they know where to find us, they know who we are, and they'll come in and see us. It's a real key point for us. It's one of the biggest outreaches that we do to those experiencing homelessness. For people who would like to get involved to help, they can call us at CARE. The number is 503-842-5261 and ask to speak to me. I'm Erin, and I have volunteer opportunities from 1:30 to 4 or from 3:30 to 6. And in either of those cases, what I do is have folks help me with could be actually interviewing people at the door. It could be serving them a meal. It could be helping them find an item of clothing. It's just a lot of different ways that we use volunteers.
Okay, thanks very much.
Oh, I appreciate it, Kathleen. Thank you for the call.
That was Erin Scar, Executive Director of Tillamook Care. Again, if you can help out with donations of time or supplies, give her a call at 503-842-5261. We also have phone numbers and location information for all the events here at the station. You can also get that information on our website, coastradio.org, by clicking the news button on the homepage. This morning, we're going to hear about a unique opportunity for young people to become young business people. Cindy Mudge, Executive Director of the Astoria Sunday Market, is here in the studio to talk about the Market Biz Kids. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
Can you tell us about the Young Entrepreneurs Program?
Sure. It's a program where young people, grades K through 12, can actually be a vendor at Astoria Sunday Market as long as they make or grow their own product, just like our vendors do. The difference is we set up an actual market, what we call our Market Biz Kids tent, and instead of renting a whole tent, they actually rent a tabletop space for $5, and they can sell their wares. We also offer a series of free workshops that start actually in January so that they can get some help in developing their product, learning how to sell, figuring out how the financials work into it. And some of that I know sounds boring, but we actually do work really hard to make it all fun and interesting for them.
So the kids don't have to have any previous marketing experience. They don't have to have sold Girl Scout cookies or anything like that.
Nope. This is for anyone, whether they've had experience or not. And if they have had experience, we actually like that because they sometimes can share their own experiences with the other students and kids who are participating. So it's actually really good to have a mix.
What kind of products have the kids come up with?
It's been a wide range, everything from, of course, things like jewelry and bookmarks to soap. In fact, one of our regulars who now has their own booth sells soap made out of goat's milk that she raises the goats from. There's been just everything from decorative boxes, message in a bottle, which that student is still selling his product to the Columbia River Maritime Museum and to the Oregon Historical Society. He's not in the program anymore, but I know he is continuing to sell his product. So it's been kind of a wide range of things, and actually the kids have been very creative, and I love seeing what they come up with.
So the message in the bottle guy, did the Market Biz Kids program give him help on marketing to other entities, or did he come up with that idea on his own to sell to the Maritime Museum?
He came up with the product on his own, and in fact, he sold it at our cruise ship markets. I believe he was in our course the year that we had Blue Anderson over at the museum. She helped us with one of our workshops on how to present for wholesale, and she had some excellent tips, and I'd love to get her back talking with our students, but that really started a really good relationship, and he learned a lot from that and started selling there, and the product has done really well. And so now I understand the Oregon Historical Society in Portland also sells his product.
Well, that sounds like a very successful product for that young person.
Yeah.
So this can involve a huge time commitment in learning, setting up, producing, and then selling. What kind of a time commitment do you need from the parents and the kids?
The time commitment is probably our biggest challenge, although compared to sporting programs and things like that, it's probably not quite as much. Basically, from the students, we don't require it, but we do like them to go through the workshops that they haven't vended with us before because they do learn a lot, and plus they have to work together as a team when they're out there in the tents, and it does help build, bond them to, you know, and get comfortable with one another before we send them out into the wilds of an open-air market. So that part is really helpful, and those workshops are about once a month. Plus, we invite and pay for their lunch at the annual vendor luncheon that we do for our regular vendors so that they get a chance to meet some of our vendors and the vendors get a chance to meet them because they are part of the market. So you're looking at about a couple hours once a month between January and when the kids start vending, which is mid-June. We open Mother's Day, but we don't start the Biz Kids until after school's out. And then after that, they can vend as few or as often as they want throughout the market season, which is Sundays. We do ask that all parents go through training provided by 4-H so that the kids always should have at least two adults in that booth area who are trained. And so if all the adults train, it's actually not as big a commitment for them as they might fear first stepping into it.
So you have 5 to 10 kids, only two of those parents at any one time have to be on hand to supervise?
We require at least two. More can be there. And in fact, some parents have gotten to the point where they really enjoy sitting in the background and while their kids are up there selling, and they sometimes can give them a break so that they can go get lunch or something. So we do encourage that as well if they want to. The kids themselves, like I said, they can vend just once or they can vend throughout the whole season. To be eligible to apply for one of our grants, though, at the end of the year, they do have to vend at least 5 times. And the whole program, including the grants, we're very lucky. It's sponsored by Recology Oregon and also WANA Federal Credit Union. And because of them, we're able to offer the workshops for free. We're able to offer the grant program at the end of the year. So we really, and they've helped purchase the equipment that we use and have to sometimes resupply at the start of each year. So we've been very fortunate having great community support.
On the grant program, is this a competitive grant? And what are the funds that the kids win used for?
It's competitive in that there are limited dollars. And so if a lot of kids apply, we would either divide up what's there, or if some of the kids didn't complete all the processes, you know, they would have to complete all that we require to earn the grant. We actually have no strings to the grant. Our goal is we just like to see them go through the grant process, which is basically creating a business plan. And if the kids go through every single workshop, they get one sheet of the business plan. So it basically, they build it as they go. And there are a few other elements to the grant, you know, a cover letter and pictures of them making the product and selling the product. And they have to respond to a few questions. But basically, it walks them through the process of doing a business plan. And that's really kind of our end game with that, with the grant program.
With all that education, how many kids come back year after year having once been a Market Biz kid?
We started in 2009. We actually had kind of a pretty steady pool that kept coming back. Probably out of maybe 20 kids, you have eight or nine who complete the whole program for the year. And of that, you know, a lot of them have returned. Some of them, though, now are in high school. And the minute they hit high school, they have so many other obligations that we do start losing them at that point. Especially when they hit junior and senior high, they've got so many other things on their plate. But we do have some of them that have been through the program, and it's odd seeing how it's like they're adults now. They were little kids when they started, and we can't possibly have done this that long, but we have.
It sounds like a very successful program then.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So if kids want to get involved, how should they get in touch with you?
Well, probably the best thing to do is to actually attend our open house, which is Tuesday, January 21st. It's at the Astoria Event Center on 9th Street between Commercial and Marine Drive. We'll serve pizza and sodas and basically walk everybody through what the program is about. We'll have some students who have done the program before there on hand, showing their products and kind of explaining how the market's been to them and offering some tips. And so that's actually kind of the best way. We'll have applications there and you'll get to learn more about the program. Otherwise, you can just go to our website, AstoriaSundayMarket.com. And we have an application right there online that you can download and print out.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming in this morning to tell us about the Market Biz Kids program.
You bet. Thank you.
Finally, Saturday night in Manzanita is the annual Pie Day auction and all-you-can-eat pie feast. This is a benefit event for two organizations, Food Roots and the Lower Nehalem Community Trust. Lorraine Ortiz is the director of the Lower Nehalem Community Trust. Good morning, Lorraine. Can you tell us about the two organizations and the work they do?
Sure. Lower Nehalem Community Trust and Food Roots are two of the many nonprofits in Tillamook County, which is part of your listening area. The Lower Nehalem Community Trust is a land conservation organization, and they predominantly preserve land in the Nehalem Bay estuary and surrounding properties. So pretty much when you drive down Highway 101 and you look over that beautiful lookout at the top of Neocone Mountain, everything you see to the south and the east is the service area of that organization. Food Roots has a mission to cultivate healthy food systems for the North Oregon Coast community, and they are working as a catalyst and an advocate for local food systems so that we increase production and access to regionally produced healthy food.
And like many of our area community organizations, both of these are primarily operated by volunteers?
Both organizations have large staffs of volunteers and some paid staff. As usual, it takes communities to do nonprofit work, and volunteers serve in a variety of ways, both on the ground, helping at events like this, helping to do presentations to communities, do education to school groups, a host of activities. And people who are interested in either of these missions can certainly step up to be volunteers.
So how did these two different organizations get together to collaborate on this same fundraising event?
Right. Where is the crossover between land conservation and food security? And it's interesting that one of the programs of the Lower Nehalem Community Trust is a very active community garden at one of the conservation properties called Alder Creek Farm. There's actually a 5-acre garden and heritage orchard there that was part of the property when it was purchased. So both organizations are always reaching out for partnerships, and because they both had this food aspect in common, and of course a lot of us are networked around here and know each other, we look for creative ways to make those partnerships. And Pi Day evolved just about Food Roots wanting to educate about organic practices in apple growing and the fact that the trust has an apple orchard on one of these conservation sites. And it just birthed itself and has become a favorite event around here. This is the sixth annual.
The sixth annual Pie Day.
It is, yeah.
Well, apple pie is an American classic, and that can segue us into a little more about the event. What's on the program for Pie Day?
Okay, so they show up at the door, and we suggest an $8 donation to get in. They will be given an auction packet and a bidder number. We will have 24 pies for auction, and these are baked by our most famous bakers in the county. And Liz Cole and Peter Newman are our guest auctioneers, and they make it a lot of fun, very entertaining. And then after the auction, our guests are treated to an all-you-can-eat pie feast, and this is 30 pies of all kinds are on a big table, and everybody gets up and they get to help themselves and try all the different kinds and even have some ice cream with it.
So you can help out two good organizations by bidding on a pie to take home, and then you can indulge in all-you-can-eat pie during the rest of the evening.
To your heart's content.
Let's finish off with anything else you'd like to add and the details about the location and time.
I'd like to let the listeners know that the event is this Saturday night, January 18th, at the Nehalem Bay United Methodist Church, and that's at 36050 10th Street in Nehalem. The event begins at 7. If you want a good seat, get there at 6:30 because it does typically fill up. And we hope to see everybody there.
Thank you, Lorraine Ortiz of the Lower Nehalem Community Trust.
Oh, thanks, Kathleen.
Well, that draws today's show to a close. You've been listening to The Bridge. The Bridge airs weekly, Thursday mornings at 9. If you join the show late, you can listen to a podcast of the show from our website at coastradio.org. Just click the program box on the homepage. We welcome your comments on the show. Call us at 503-325-0010 or email to news1, that's N-E-W-S, then the numeral 1, at kmun.org. I'm Kathleen Morgane saying thank you for listening today, and listen in again next Thursday morning at 9:30, The Bridge is a production of Coast Community Radio.